few announcements before the homily. There's much going on because this is Monday. Right after Mass, Father and Noah and myself will go over to Our Lady's statue for the Miraculous Medal Novena. We ask that if you were going to stay, we hope you all will, that you'll remain in place for your safety. At 1 o'clock, we'll have our continuation of 5 Loaves and 2 Fish with the book club over in the parish hall, and you're all welcome. It's quite safe. There's plenty of room for social distancing. At 4 p.m., well, Father will continue with his daily briefing. And then, of course, we have the Holy Hour from 7 to 8 with confessions during the Holy Hour, as well as benediction at the end of adoration. So there's a ton of stuff going on a Monday. Before I give my homily, I would just remind or let you know that the Holy Father has a new encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, Brothers All Are All Brothers. And there's a section, chapter 2, is on today's gospel reading, the Good Samaritan, and it's worth reading. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel passage is no doubt one of the most well-known of any we find in the New Testament. The proclamation of the two great commandments, followed by the parable of the Good Samaritan. That Jesus would use a Samaritan as a protagonist of his parable is not surprising. As he and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem from Galilee in the north, and the quickest way was straight through Samaria, which was just to the south of Galilee. Now, this was unusual because most Jews in Galilee, when they were on their way to the temple in Jerusalem, would not take this route. They would go east, cross the Jordan, come down along the eastern side of the Jordan until they got just above the Dead Sea, cross back over the Jordan River, and go straight west to Jerusalem so that they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. You'll recall that Samaria was part of the northern kingdom. And when the Assyrian conquest occurred in 722 BC, the Israelites there were exiled, and the land was repopulated with other non-Jew subjects of Assyria. Now, this was a typical way for Assyria to treat a conquered area. It removed those who were beaten so that they would not plot against their captors, and by repopulating the area with subjects from other conquests and giving them land and standing, these new inhabitants would be beholden to the Assyrian king and unlikely to revolt. Now, these new inhabitants of Samaria were pagans, therefore, and even those few Jews that remained that might have intermarried still practiced idolatry, that great sin that led to the exile in the first place. So these Samaritans were no friends of the Jews and certainly not considered neighbors. But Jesus, in typical fashion, turns the view of the existing world upside down. He continues to be a contradiction to all who would listen. We hear that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but just who is our neighbor? Is it our friend, our benefactor? Perhaps it is those whom we feel closest to, feel safe in their presence. Certainly, Jesus can't mean that our list of neighbors should include those who hate us, those who persecute us, our enemies. But if we read between the lines of the parable, these are exactly whom we must include as our neighbors. For the love of our Lord and Savior is all-inclusive, offered to all unconditionally. But let's take a moment and look a little more closely at the parable. Who do you see yourself as being in this parable? If you're like most people, and I include myself in this group, you would say you are the Good Samaritan. You are the good guy who rides in on your white steed and saves the day, cleansing and dressing the victim's wounds, giving up your horse so he can ride it, and depositing this poor soul in a safe place so he can rest and heal, and then going one step further and paying whatever this costs from your own funds. But, friends, let's be honest. Does this really sound like you or me? How many of us are more often than not like the priest and the Levite, who, seeing the injured man, go to the other side of the road to avoid him, as if he had some communicable disease that we might catch? How about the times when you're driving, you come upon a person standing on the median divide, begging for money for reasons unknown? Do you immediately reach into your pocket or purse for a few dollars, or perhaps, if you're feeling generous that day, a five or a ten? Or do you find yourself avoiding eye contact with him? If I don't see him, he won't see me. Or else, even moving into the far right lane so as to avoid this person altogether. Do you realize that you just lost an opportunity to encounter Christ? That this was a time for you to love the least of his brethren? What if you were to see yourself as the victim who was robbed and lie half dead by the side of the road? And what if the robber was Satan, looking to take away your immortal soul? You lie weakened, and it would not take much for the accuser to finish you off. But for the grace of Jesus, the love of your Lord, you would surely perish. But here, the Samaritan is none other than Christ himself, who sees the need and fills it. Even though you may have strayed and estranged yourself from him, he's there to bind your wounds, return you to his fold. Why? Because this is what neighbors do. They help one another. The lesson of the parable of the Good Samaritan is clear no matter what part we play. God made each and every one of us for himself, to be with him for all eternity. But for that to happen, sometimes we need to see the need in our brother or sister and attend to them. Sometimes we are the neighbor in need ourselves and are dependent on the love of another. Getting back to heaven takes teamwork, takes living a life with both eyes open to the needs of the other when we are called to love as we love ourselves. It takes living as authentic biblical Christians. So as you approach the altar today, make a commitment to Jesus that you will be that person who sees those needs and fulfills them. May God bless you.